Hi, this is your Swapnil Bharatiya, and welcome to another episode of TIFR Insights. We are organizing a special series of discussions on cloud-native security for CloudNativeCon and KubeCon. And our next guest is Archis Gur, CTO of Polyverse. Archis, it's nice to have you again on the show.
Thanks for having me, Swapnil. It's always a pleasure.
Awesome. And thanks, Polyverse, for sponsoring this series about cloud-native security, because what I believe is that security is the next big frontier. You know, you can push your application as much as you want, but security is what brings everything down. We have had this discussion earlier also, and since we are talking about cloud-native specifically, what we do know is, especially in the cloud-native world, security is no longer an afterthought as it is in the traditional world. It is, as we discussed last time also, that it should become part of a developer's pipeline itself. So I want to know from you, from Polyverse perspective, is this statement true that in cloud-native world, security is no longer an afterthought?
That is a very true statement, yes. For more reasons than one, right? If you think about cloud-native does for DevOps. I mean, cloud-native, I think, is the end of the DevOps per se, right? We went from manually doing something to agents that did what we would have done manually, but they were almost like keystroke repeaters, right? If you think of like the first phase of infrastructure automation, it was like an agent that types in the keystrokes that I would have typed manually, right? And now, you know, we're at a place where we don't think in terms of typing keystrokes. OSs have APIs, right? Infrastructure has a first-class API. And so now we tell the infrastructure what we want, and the infrastructure becomes what we want. And so, that's exactly how I see the security evolution, right? Back in the day, security was something we did manually. And then we went into how to automate what I would have done manually, right? And I guess like the best way to think of it is, the earliest automation, right, the automata as we started to build it, you know, the analog machines back in the day, if I had to like move a kettle by hand, we would build a hand that would move the kettle, right? And then afterwards, we started building pipes because we no longer needed to do that motion. And I feel like that is where cloud-native security is now going, where we're not repeating keystrokes. Fundamentally.
Right. One more thing I want to know, since we are talking about a bit of comparison, is that what are some of the biggest concerns today there are, especially in the cloud native space? Because cloud native space is a bit different from the traditional IT, which also means the security concerns, security challenges is also different. So can you talk about the challenges that organizations or developers are facing, especially in the cloud native space?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. There's two aspects to security, right? One is the policy, and that tells you what you want, right? Which is, I don't want anyone accessing my data unless they have access to, rights to access it, right? And then the other one is enforcement, which is the actual tool that implements that policy that says, oh, I will not let you access this data because you don't have access to it, right? There's two levels of challenges now, right? One is because everything is an API, there is a challenge in now, first of all, securing cloud native itself, right? The tools that do cloud native, right? And so like a great example, and I don't mean to pick on Helm, right? I love Helm, but like a great example is, if you remember Helm v1 or even Helm v2, they had the Tiller component, right? And then you had like a second layer of auth on those APIs, and it wasn't quite that first class experience where, you know, based on your access rights to a Kubernetes cluster is also a proxy for what you can do through Helm, right? And so like Helm v3 is like that realization of proper cloud native tooling being an integrated secure experience. So that's level one, right? It's the tooling itself. And then layer two is the stuff that you run using cloud native, and that would be your web servers and your application, right? And no amount of cloud native, right? Even if we take it to the end of serverless, right? even in my lambdas, I still have to implement auth. And it's boring and it's painful, but I still have to do it. So that's the logical security that has to be in the app. And so we're dealing with those two levels. And that's very new from the old fashioned world.
I also want to discuss a bit, once again, these are topics that we keep talking about, but they are now make more sense in the cloud native space, is that cloud native, we don't talk about waterfall model. Continuous delivery, continuous integration. It's still, because of security, there are delays in not only, adding features or, updating it. So can you talk about, does security still delay updates or addition of new features in the cloud native world? I mean, actually, there was a report we discussed with Alex, and yes, and most time it does do that. So what I want to know from you is that, how can this be improved? Of course, everybody should be using polymorphing, then there will not be any worry at all. But unfortunately, we need more awareness about that. But still, how can this be improved? And at the same time, when we do look at security, if you get compromised, then things will go down. But if I'm going to apply this patch, things will go down. So people worry about uptime a lot. So talk about these three different things.
So I have a very strong opinion on this, right?
I know that. That's why I like to ask these questions.
and here's my opinion, which is, and again, like, a lot of my scuba diving background plays into forming this opinion, which is, I always, because I'm also a mathematician, right? I always look at, imagine if you had a problem, right? And what would you do to resolve the problem, right? If you could do that, and then you just did that resolution, then you no longer have to measure the problem, right? So like before, we had this if problem, then resolve, right? But if you make the resolution so cheap that you can just do it every morning, then you don't have to do if problem. And here's how I see COVID as a great example of that, right? Which is, if I assume that you have COVID, right? Then I just make you wear a mask and I wear a mask and we stay 6 feet apart, right? And at that point, I don't care, do you have COVID, right? Because I've already taken resolution. And so if you take those kinds of principles in cloud native, one of the things that I wish we could get to as an industry, as a world, as computing, is how can we make patching safer such that you're always patching? And so, for instance, we actually do that at Polyverse, right? One of the things we do is we don't do scanning. We just don't, because if I'm always on the latest patch, there is nothing a scanner is going to tell me that is very useful to me, right? And if I'm not at the latest patch, then there's nothing a scanner is going to tell me that is useful to me, right? Because I already know I'm behind. And so, getting in a cadence where you're always patched means you never have to do scanning, right? That's one example of such things, right? When you're building like SSL libraries, right? Zeroing all memory before you release it back to the heap is a great example. It doesn't matter, was it a password? Was it a key? Who cares, right? If you zero it out, no one can allocate it. There is no use after free, right? And so those are some examples of how I like to think about the security problem is assume you have it, then follow that entire trail into how you would resolve it. Then try to make that resolution cheap and just apply the resolution and don't spend everything before.
If you look at cloud native security, we talk about, zero trust. We talk about DevSecOps. According to you, what you have seen in this space, how widespread do you see DevSecOps and zero trust adoption across the ecosystem?
My therapist always likes to say, always appreciate intent if you cannot appreciate actions, right? And I'm happy to say that intent-wise, we're like over 90% there, right? And I've said this before, I have never met a person who did not want security in my entire life. I have never once met such a person, right? So in terms of DevSecOps adoption, the intent of adoption, we're there, right? People want dev, people want ops, people want sec. In terms of implementation, I think, you know, we have a ways to go, and that's why we're having these conversations, right? Which is the old school tools weren't built for SEC to be in the middle of dev and ops, right? To sit close to each other, to be complementary, to be comforting. You know, these were almost seen as adversarial things. And you know, I mean, I was doing ops back in, you know, back in the day when dev and ops were adversarial entities to each other, right? And so I remember those days very, very well. But I'm happy to say that with the intent there, I know we're going to get the execution there.
Security can mean a lot of things. In general, we look at security as, you know, vulnerabilities, and they mostly come from bugs. And bugs are part of software development process. If you're writing any code, that's where the bugs come from. Some bugs can become security. Second issue could be misconfiguration. But are these only two kind of prominent areas which lead to security, or there are other things also that can lead to security issues?
So that is a great question, because again, coming from theoretical computer science and, you know, studying Turing machines a lot, right? I think the fundamental definition of security is subjective, right? It is never objective. And I think that that is something many people miss, right? Security issues are primarily just bugs, to quote Linus Torvalds. And I agree with him more than I can emphasize, right? And that's because we talk about the RM utility a lot, right? Which is, you know, the tool that deletes everything, right? And you can have the most semantic analysis run on that thing, and you could, to save your life, you couldn't say whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, right? It's just a thing. And I feel like security is very similar, where if you wrote an API to expose all of your database to any caller, right? Is that a security breach or not, right? And the question is very subjective. It depends on policy. And that's why I'm such a big fan of policy. And, you know, which is, first you have to decide. And, you know, like I internally, like in Polyverse and in all my software development career, I don't let people file bugs unless there is a spec. Because a bug means, here's what my expectation was, and here's what actually happened, and those two are different. And that makes it a bug, right? There is no objective definition of looking at something and calling it a bug. And so from that definition, I feel like security bugs are everywhere, right? Like literally everywhere. It's not just misconfiguration. It's not just application. It is every place where we did not write down a spec, or we wrote down a spec and the actual thing does not meet the spec. It's a security problem, right? And that means a person misbehaving, you know, outside of what they were told. It means a secure boot system misbehaving outside of what it was supposed to do. You know, it's a programmer who unintentionally opens up their database, right? All of those things are a security problem at all times.
Right. We have talked about problems for now. One thing that is unique about Polyverse, and because this is a kind of discussion I cannot have with a lot of security companies out there, especially when we are working on this series, and that is polymorphing. Can you talk about how polymorphing, or what kind of solutions Polyverse has there that can offer a layer of protection for these cloud native users, so that when we are looking at Thanksgiving or Black Friday or Cyber Monday, or, you know, whole shopping near Christmas or any other holiday season, developers don't have to stay awake at night. Hey, you know what? That patch is coming. We have to apply that. So please talk about that.
Yeah. So all of what I'm saying is you know, first of all, I'm not a security person by career, right? I'm an ops person, and I'm an ops person who started to build security. And that's because the problem to me was obvious. And what we do at Polyverse is we look at that policy enforcement piece, right? We're not policy creators, but what we do is we look at, what does the world en masse want, right? So like, I'll give you two examples. One example is the world en masse does not want a buffer overflow to be exploited, right? And that is a policy that we've heard, right? We know implicitly that is a policy that exists. Now, we ask ourselves, how can we make a one-click thing that enforces that policy for everyone on the planet in one shot? And they have to do nothing else except click a button or run one command, right? Similarly, our polyscripting product, which I'm extremely excited about each day that I see PHP or JavaScript code injections or backdoors, right? It is, you know, here's the policy, right? Which is any code that you have approved to run on a server is the only code that should run on that server, right? That is the policy, that is the ask, the intent. Polyscripting ensures that it is 100% applied 100% of the time with no false positives or no false negatives and no failures, right? And so that's our thinking that we bring to the market, which is we look at a wide ask that a large number of companies, people, operators, developers are making. And then we say, how can we deploy one thing that implements that ask?
Archies, thank you so much for talking about the unique challenges that are there in context of security, especially in the cloud native world, and how polymorphing or bringing this whole, you know, philosophy or ideology of, you know, making security part of developers' pipeline itself, not an afterthought, is really going to help. Once again, thank you not only for talking to us today, but also sponsoring the series. And I look forward to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.